Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to MTS Center, where the Ottawa Senators have just defeated the Winnipeg Jets by a similar 6-4 margin. Welcome to the Illegal Curve postgame podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined by Richard Pollock and producer Michael Remus, high above the ice level here at MTS Center. It's been a wild ride since October 9th, but even though the mathematics still say it's possible, today's loss is the final death blow for the Winnipeg Jets.
It is, Drew. You could feel it in the arena before the game, to be honest. I mean, the atmosphere was into it to a point, you know, into it when they could be. The intensity from the outset wasn't the same as it was for other games. I think the writing was on the wall, but tonight, you know, everything's done now. And it was a great run. Tonight's game was, in many ways, the epitome of the season, in that, you know, the Jets played hard.
Yeah,
they played sloppy though, which they have a lot for the course. You know, many times over the season, they have given up late leads at home.
Yeah,
I mean, how many times has that happened? Now we'll talk about that in a second. But Philly and Carolina, just to name a few, and Washington, and you know, you can't do that. But that's not the only problem. This team
has holes.
This team has big.
This team has holes. And at the beginning of the year, if I told you that on March 26th,
yeah,
March 27th, they would still be in it, You probably would have taken that.
You're 2 weeks later than probably most thought.
Exactly. So
including myself.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah. This has been a good run. It's been entertaining. I mean, there's two home games left. If you told me, you know, 40 out of the 42 home games,
absolutely,
or 39 out of the 41, how many home games are there? 42.
40,
so
41,
40 out of the 41. Yeah, 41 home games. So 39 out of the 41 are going to be real meaningful games.
Oh no.
You would have taken that.
Yeah.
Game
40
started.
Of the 39.
No, 39, because tonight, and then that April 7th game against Tampa will be one last salute for them before the offseason.
Yeah.
So that'll be nice that they finish off at home anyways. Ottawa opened the scoring at the 19:34 mark of the first period. Chris Neal is 12th of the year, assist to Jason Spezza and Eric Karlsson. Neal gets credit for the goal, but it was all Karlsson with a pass up to Spezza. Spezza comes down the right wing here, takes a shot. Good high shot. It trickles over Pavlik's shoulder, and then Neal's there to jam it.
Stewart and Jones too, Drew. I mean, Stewart came out, hit everybody, and plays a lot of heart. But I'll tell you this: Stewart and Jones have been victimized again and again over the past few games, and tonight was no exception.
No, exactly right. That made it 1-0 after the first period. Ottawa scored 1:53 in the second period. Dogovins, correctly?
Yes,
Kasper's Dogovins, his fifth of the year, assist to Eric Condra and Zach Smith.
Just cut up and cut in front.
Yeah.
And had beautiful patience. I think Zach Smith kind of scored a similar goal in the first game here. Dogovins actually tried this move later in the game and almost scored again, but just kept waiting and waiting. Pavlik gave a little bit, and the Jets' defense was gaping tonight. And took advantage, and 2-0 lead for Ottawa.
That's right. And much like we've seen with this Winnipeg Jets team, a surprising amount of resiliency.
Yeah, they don't give up.
They don't give up, and that's credit to the coaching staff as well as it is to the players.
Exactly, yeah.
That they still do believe in themselves.
Sure.
Down 2-0 on home ice. Sort of, you know, could have packed it in there.
Sure.
I mean, they could have easily packed it in, but they didn't, and they responded a little more than a minute later. Antti Miettinen, his third of the year, assists to Zach Bogosian and Kyle Wellwood. Bogo with a big shot from the point, rebound, and just on a one-timer almost, Miettinen just slapped it from 3 feet in front of the net, right past Craig Anderson to make it 2-1.
On the PP, second unit, gets a goal, so that's nice for them. Yep.
Yeah, so that was nice. And then, you know, just under 4 minutes later, Kyle Wellwood is 16th of the year, assist to Evander Kane and Ron Hainsey.
Evander Kane always uses the speed around the net, and if he can become a better passer, he can take advantage of that. I'm not sure if he's trying to swing the puck in front or he's trying to pass it, but in any event, Kane comes down low, uses speed, and Wellwood's on the other side of the net. Wellwood had missed a really good chance earlier.
Well, Kyle Wellwood had his penalty shot, which we'll talk about a little bit later. Kyle Wellwood had 3 or 4 golden scoring opportunities in this game.
One of his better games for sure. I thought Kyle Wellwood played excellent hockey tonight.
Didn't hit anybody. Didn't go in the corners at all. But
that's,
you know, for what he does, he played well.
Yeah, that's what they didn't sign him to do those things, right?
No, exactly right. 2-2, late 2-2 in the second period after the Jets come back. Kyle Turris.
And then, this goal right here, I'm just going to cut in here, Drew, because this goal right here is worth the price of admission. Because what you saw here was absolutely brilliant stick handling and passing by Jason Spezza. The best player, maybe aside from Karlsson on the ice, skill through the roof. And this is when you're looking at the Jets and you're saying, okay, what do we have? What does the team have as a fan? You don't have any Jason Spezzas, and you sure as hell don't have any Eric Karlssons.
Right.
And those are imperative to moving forward. And Jason Spezza with the most ridiculous goal. Behind the back, to start it out to himself, Andreas, I forget who Andreas is, makes a crazy pass to Turris, and that was worth the price of admission. Even the press box, when you don't get much reactions about anything, everybody said, wow, what a goal.
Yeah. The press box was
so much so that you forgot to score it because everybody was so caught up on what Spezza was doing.
Exactly, you know, it was like Turris gets the credit in the goal mark, but it's all Spezza there.
Right,
he's got 49. I mean, just look at these numbers. He's got he's got 49.
He should be in the MVP talk, and he's not right now. I've heard his name a little bit, but you know, Malkin's gonna win.
Right,
and Stamkos is probably second. But I know Spezza took a couple penalties tonight. But Spezza should be in the conversation. To me, he's in the top five conversation for sure.
Well, then let's talk about Erik Karlsson and then for his Norris Trophy chances. Erik Karlsson had 3 assists tonight. He's got 57 assists on the season.
True. I think this puts him like just 1 point under a point a game. And you can talk about his defensive drawbacks, and he gets beat wide a bit, and he's not the biggest guy. And I know he's not Shea Weber, but his transition, his ability to move the transition game is second to none as far as I'm concerned in the National Hockey League. He creates so much, and it's not always on the score sheet. The passes out of the zone, backing up the defense on the power play breakouts, so many things that he does well. It's scary to think how young he is. To me, I would put, I have to give it a little more thought, watch a little bit more down the stretch here, but he is certainly in my top three, and I would probably tell you right now I would lean towards voting for Karlsson for the Norris.
Yeah, we should work on getting ourselves a vote.
That's true.
Yeah. 3-2 Senators at that point. 20 seconds later, again, the Jets keep answering the Senators. Took them 20 seconds after Kyle Turris' goal. Antti Miettinen, his second on the night, his fourth on the year. Assist to Jim Slater and Tanner Glass. Glass dumps it in. Craig Anderson goes behind the net to play it. That's mishandles it. Slater passes it right out to Miettinen, an empty net. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Easy one,
but it happens. You know, it's good.
Yeah.
Then this is what I'm going to call the turning point. So 3-3 after 40 minutes. This is the turning point. At the 1:34 mark of the third period, Kyle Wellwood gets awarded a penalty shot. He gets hooked while he's on a breakaway. He gets a penalty shot.
He gets a good chance on the penalty shot, and then Kane actually got a good chance on the rebound. So
Wellwood got a good chance on the breakaway.
Yeah.
And then Kane on the rebound.
And then Wellwood had a penalty shot, so he actually had 3 chances.
It's true.
And 3 really good chances.
If you probably go through the Jets bench, one of the guys you're going to pick to take a penalty shot is Kyle Wellwood. Yeah. Soft hands, dynamite in the shootout. Wasn't his best effort on the penalty shot.
He tried to get Anderson to make a move, and you know, hockey players will know that if you're going to make the move on a shootout and you're going to pull the puck to the forehand, you better have beat the goalie clean because the body positioning and such does not allow for you to really raise the puck.
Right.
And in that case, he didn't beat him clean. And you're as a player, and we've played, and as trying to pop a goal there. If you know when you're in the penalty shot, when you know if that move doesn't work,
you can't
seal it. You can't put it through. I mean, we're talking, making jokes about the Jets needing to score, otherwise the season was over. Imitating Bob Cole, you know, they got to score.
Yeah,
that's all there is to it. Yeah. No, and you know, just harkening back to that '98 play, and we're talking 14 years ago. I remember it like yesterday. But Brendan Shanahan on Hashtag makes a forehand deke, and if you don't beat him clean in terms of body positioning, you know, between the posts, you can't raise it.
Right.
What happened on that goal? Same thing that happened here.
Exactly. So it's 3. So the Jets
got a score.
The Jets miss out
That's
on
all that. There is to it.
Okay, Bob.
No.
The Jets miss out on that.
Can you edit that in real? See if we got it exactly right.
Yeah. Shanahan has got to bag this one. He's the fifth. He's got to score. That's all. No, he cannot do it. The Czech Republic will play for the gold medal.
The Jets miss out on that opportunity.
Yeah.
You guys, you know.
The Czech Republic.
The Jets miss out on that opportunity to take their first lead of the game.
No.
Needless to say, a minute 20 later, Daniel Alfredsson is 25th of the year. Erik Karlsson with his 3rd assist on the night there makes it 4-3 for the Ottawa Senators at that point.
Yeah, Drew, that is...
And it was just a... I mean, it was...
That
was the Bogosian one.
That was a Bogosian one. I mean, Bogosian taking a nap, and it's 3-all. You got the puck on your own boards. I don't know what he's thinking. He's not thinking. He gets a little emotional. That's a good quality to have. There hurt him. He's a young defenseman. Fires the puck up the middle. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, cross ice pass from the right corner I think he was trying to hit Ladd going up the left wing.
He doesn't need to see the video. That's not one of those you go over the video with him. You go, okay.
You just burn the video there. He knows as much as anybody.
Yeah, that's right.
That made it 4-3 again to the Jets' credit.
They came back.
Evander Kane,
These teams were trading chances.
I had
the chances very close.
Look, it was an entertaining game from start to finish. I mean, the Jets had 48 shots
We've been talking about Ottawa all year. Exciting. This is the thing about Paul MacLean when it should win the Coach of the Year. Because they don't don't play that boring garbage that you see with Dave Tippett.
Sure.
No offense to Dave Tippett. They don't play it.
Right.
They play exciting hockey, and they're going to make the playoffs.
Because he's got talent. He's got the talent that he's able to play.
He's got top-end talent, but he allows them to, and exactly, and he allows them to excel.
With all due respect to Corey Clouston, their former head coach, who had similar talent, but, I mean, not as much of it. You know, Eric Karlsson was a year younger and everything
else. Paul McClain's a better coach. There's no doubt about it.
And you can't tell me for a second. Nope. And I think last time the Jets and the Senators played here, the Senators won 6-4, and I think I said the same thing in the podcast.
It's worth the price of admission.
If you're a Senator, you can't tell me that this is not the, you're fun. Not so happy to play in this kind of
and
system.
Paul McClain has a pristine reputation, and he's known as not only a fun coach to play for, but a genuinely good guy.
Mm-hmm.
So much so the people at Concerns, and Kevin Allen referenced this a little while back on
Kevin
Twitter.
Kevin Allen of USA Today.
People worried that he was too nice.
Sure. But, I mean, the Senators play a very fun style. To the Jets' credit, Evander Kane tied it up at 4, like we were saying.
That was kind of a hard-working goal in that, you know,
bounced
off his arm. But, on the face-off, Kane went to the net, and they were, you go to the net, good things happen.
Jason Spezza tries to slap the puck away out of midair. It hits Evander Kane in the arm. It bounces in. You know, goal mouth scramble. But whatever, you take the goals. Again, Jets showing some resiliency, but falling back on the error of their ways, and that happened 24 seconds later. The Jets played the entire third period running around in their own zone.
Reprehensible, really, this goal here. And the season's on the line. You got the goal. You got to play a solid period. Wheeler's way too low on the defenseman.
Yeah.
He comes out, doesn't block the shot. Enstrom doesn't have a position. He's tired. And Alfredson scores, and the season's over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's complicated but simple at the same time. And,
exactly.
And that was it.
Poor defensive zone coverage. As you've seen from the Jets all year when they play an open style.
Brutal.
When they play the open style, they have poor defensive zone coverage. This one ended up biting them. That made it 5-4 for the Senators, and then the empty netter to wrap it off.
You know, quickly going over the score sheet before we wrap this up, Drew.
Yeah.
Give Noel credit. He did something that we've been saying you should be doing more.
Ride
your horses. Wheeler played 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Ladd played 23:37.
Buffalo
played 23:58. But hold on.
Yeah.
There's one problem. Combined minus 11. You're looking, I don't like plus minus on a whole, as a whole, but just on a one game basis tonight. I mean, when your top guns are on for four even strength goals against, than they're on four, you're done. It's over.
Andrew Ladd -4, Brian Little -4, Blake Wheeler -3. They had some struggles in their own zone.
Wheeler was the best player in that line tonight, as he has been all season.
He had good energy.
Was the Kane line tonight.
Yeah, Kane Burmistrov played, Burmistrov gets a lot of flack for whatever reason because he doesn't show up on the score sheet very much. But he's probably one of the, he's turning into a tremendous defensively responsible player. Mm-hmm. And he has been all year, and you've seen him get that responsibility playing key penalty-killing moments.
Enstrom's worn down. Enstrom's an interesting one moving forward because is he big enough?
He's a UFA after next season.
We talked about that. We'll talk about that in the show coming up, but we've talked about it at length already. But, the question is he too small to handle this huge minutes that they've been putting upon him?
He had 28-13 today.
He's tired, and Bufflin's tired. And Bufflin is tired because he's been playing a lot. Bufflin's tired because he has a knee injury, and Bufflin's tired because he's fat.
Yeah.
I mean, we could beat around the bush. We could call it how we see it. It's a lot harder to carry around some extra weight.
Sure. And it affects you all the more when you're playing 30 minutes a game.
That's right.
But when the team needs you to play 30 minutes a game, that's why they need you to be in shape.
They're paying you $5 million. You don't think that's going to hurt this team right now? Because Bufflin has been a shadow of himself, and I know he's injured. But do we know whether or not the injury is caused by the excess weight? You know how much harder it is?
Of course. It's all connected. It's all connected. You know, you hurt your back because you're carrying too much weight in the stomach and everything
else.
What
do you think the knee?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the knee carries your trunk and it carries your load and everything else.
That's what it is. We can beat around the bush.
Yeah, but there's no need to. 6-4 final here. Ottawa defeats the Winnipeg Jets. The Jets are back in action Wednesday night for their second last home game of the year. They play the New York Rangers. It's not going to be a completely meaningless game, but more or less it will be. 6 o'clock puck drop, an early start, 6 o'clock p.m. Wednesday from MTS Center for the fourth and final meeting between the Winnipeg Jets and the New York Rangers. That's Richard Pollock. That's Michael Remus. I'm Drew Mandel. We encourage you to follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve, and our website is www.illegalcurve.com. We'll be back with you after Wednesday night's game against the Rangers, and of course the Illegal Curve hockey show takes to air noon to 3 on Saturday on TSN 1290. For Richard, for Michael, I'm Drew. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for post-game audio from both the Jets and Senators dressing room.
Yeah, well, of course, big game for us. We have a lot of scoring chances. They had a couple of scoring chances. But I don't think this is a hockey that give us the chance to make a playoffs. You saw it. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say at all. Tough loss. Make some mistakes, and they had guys who can score the goals, and they take advantage for our mistakes. And I don't know. Another game Wednesday, and I don't know what to say.
Bizarre to see that many turnovers at this point of the year.
Yeah, well, but it was a turnovers on both sides, Yeah, those turnovers killing you, and I don't think it was just tonight. It's so how many games we lost like that. It was so many games, especially here at home. Last home game against Carolina, same thing. I mean, after this one, we can expect to make a playoffs, but we're still there again. I said that in Nashville again. We're still there. We're gonna battle till end of the season, and we'll see what happens. And the Rangers come into our building, and it's going to be another tough team to play against, and we'll see. We'll see what happens. Thank you.
It's a little bit of a wide open game, a little bit more wide open than you'd expect in a game of this magnitude.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, it was open, wide open game. A lot of both teams had scoring chances. I don't know, mistakes on the both sides. We were lucky a little bit there, but like I said, we had a couple scoring chances as well, and we didn't score. We tied the game 4-4, and I think it's we need every point in this time. And you tie the game 4-4, 3 minutes left, and in 10 seconds they score. I mean, it's. I don't know what to say. Like, if we're gonna keep doing this, we're not gonna make it. So it's pretty simple.
Okay. I wouldn't. There's no. I mean, I wouldn't ask me 4 days ago. I was stuck for 22 for quite some time, and sometimes you get a little bit of confidence. You're at the right spot. You don't force things. And today it's perfect. You know, I get. Two fortunate bounces and I get two open nets. So, fortunately for us, it was good timing on the goals. And, it feels really good to be able to come in here and win this one when the situation we're in and, you know, with the teams chasing us, playing as well as they are.
You mentioned that you got great individual efforts from a lot of guys, but like a solid team game as well.
It was. Everybody worked extremely hard. Andy played solid in net. They had some bounces. They made some great plays that nothing he can do, but he was really solid, especially down the stretch towards the last 5 minutes. I think he played really well, and huge 2 points for us.
Alfie, how do you treat this break now? Kind of sit back and see what happens behind you?
No, I mean, we'll find a way to re-energize. I mean, we played 3 games in 4 nights, a lot of emotion, a lot of stress the last few days because we know the situation we're in. So I don't know if we're going to get a day off. I'm going to try to lobby for it anyway. Tomorrow, and then back to practicing. Keep going like we have. But the biggest thing is to recharge our batteries here, and then get a push here for the last 5.
Who do you hope wins more, Buffalo or Washington?
I don't know. Whatever happens. Both teams are playing pretty good right now. Preferably, if you could have any choices, that one team wins in regulation.
But does winning this game make tomorrow night's maybe? You'd be able to watch it and not be as tense as you would have been normally?
No, I mean, whatever situation you're in, you got to deal with. So if we would have lost tonight, we would have dealt with that and, done the best we could from those circumstances. But, we can control what we do. And, as a golfer, would you always anticipate the other player to make the putt or to win their games? And, we got to make sure that we keep pushing ourselves.
I guess Gordy asked me, you didn't really answer, but how do you feel physically? It's the end of a long season, personally.
I feel pretty good. I felt really good on Saturday. I didn't have the same jump today as I did on Saturday, and I think that because of the travel and everything. But these 5 days here or 4 days is going to be huge for me to be able to re-energize and get the legs where I want them to be.
Thank you.
himself. What did you think of Jason Smith's goal right before the goal that you scored? It was a pretty nice goal.
Yeah, we had a great individual effort from Dodger, as early scored a beautiful goal, pump fake, went around the goalie, and we were joking here, he had the highlight of the night until Jason put his shift on, and he, you know, first goal we get today, he makes some great plays too. He was feeling it tonight and played a huge game for us when we really needed it.
There we go, coach.
Paul, some pretty solid individual efforts tonight, but obviously a good solid team effort.
Well, it's an old Smythe division game from my days in the 80s, to tell you the truth. It was the next goal wins and up and down the rink, and I thought their team was real competitive tonight, and you could tell that how important the game was to them, and as well our team, it was important to us, and I thought that showed through both teams, and we were, you know, we got the puck to the front of their net a little more often, and were able to get pucks in that.
Your players talked about their resiliency and their ability to use it to their advantage.
I think so. We showed, you know, they kept coming back, and we could never put them away. And that's a credit to them and to our team again that we kept coming back as well. So I thought both teams showed, you know, a ton of character, and I think both teams also showed that they're young, and there's some growing left to do.
With this playoff type atmosphere and playoff type game, did you learn anything new about your team?
Well, I think every day we learn something new about our players. Pressure brings, you know, creates diamonds, and it can create havoc. And right now, we're really, this is true. Like, this isn't the first 70 games. This is when the really games are on the line, and you really find out about who can play under the gun and who can make play with poise under the gun. So we're really learning a lot about a lot of players.
Craig, it's not often when the game would end 6-4 you talk about the goalie, but just about Craig and what he did. And obviously for him, this was an important start given how things have gone for him.
Yeah. Well, I thought he battled real hard. I thought he was real competitive. And, I mean, I thought he totally got steamrolled on the last one, but I mean that's the way it is. And I thought he held his ground and he battled for the whole game and really gave us an opportunity to win.
Essentially, now you've got a 4-day break. How do you plan on using that here? Is rest the big?
Well, I think we just finished three games in four nights, so you know rest is important. Tomorrow we'll take the day off. We're going to practice Tuesday and we're going to evaluate Wednesday. Rest and making sure we're ready to play. We have a back-to-back game on the weekend. We have to make sure that we handle Thursday the right way and make sure that we're ready to go.
I don't know if you saw, but just thoughts on Spetz's move, setting up Tourist's goal.
Oh, I thought he was real determined. I thought he came out of the penalty box and he was real determined. I think he felt that, you know, that maybe the penalty wasn't a penalty, but I mean it was a penalty. But I thought he showed a real good determination, and it was fun to watch.
We got another solid effort again from your veterans, your leaders who came through again. But I hate to call them some of the lesser lights, but Jared Cowan on the blue line was involved all night long. Kasper's Dogovans with a big goal as well. Eric Condra, a good solid effort.
Well, I thought that the Smith line was outstanding for us, and it basically turned into a three-line game. And you know they really played well and accounted well for themselves. The Dogovans made a great play to score a goal, showed a lot of poise to do it. I thought Cowan again was all of our blue liners played real hard and were competitive, but Cowan was real physical, and you know that's a big part of his game. And we need that going forward.
All right, coach, thanks for this.
Yep,
thanks for what you do.